Well, before this morning is over, you may accuse me of engaging in aerobics church. But, considering the music we have just shared together, and the presence of some former military personnel in this room, I am going to ask you to stand one more time, please. So will you all please stand? The Hebrew word for shout is ruach. So let me hear you go, ruach, ruach. Shout to the Lord, ruach El Shaddai Adonai. Ruach El Shaddai Adonai. Sound familiar, Vic? Yeah, hoorah. Ruach, yeah, hoorah. Okay. You know, we gain a lot of things from Scripture. Okay, you can sit down now. That's good. You know, before I start today's message, this is the third time I've had to visit with you, and then you never know when you're going to come back. But if I stand here now and play the role of a shepherd a little bit. I'm looking out on this field, and I see four members of the flock over here. I see a bunch of members of the flock over here. And then in the middle, there's some members of the flock, but they're kind of spread out. And we're all sheep in here today, but we all seem to be grazing in different places. Now, if I had the shepherd's crook and the time to do it, I'd go out and walk around and gather you all together into a smaller sheepfold within this sheepfold. That's just something my heart is telling me. Because I remember the last time I was here, I couldn't see you. So I asked them to turn the lights up a little bit. Because, you know, now that I've started my 71st trip around the sun, yeah, I got a few problems with my eyes and my ears, all right? But I just thought we'd do that little exercise. Ruach El Shaddai Adonai, shout to the Lord. When was the last time you all did this? Yeah, when was the last time some half-wit, wild and crazy, pastor-looking person stood up here and got you to shout to the Lord? Let me ask you this. Was it hard? Could you feel it in your heart? Do you know what you did? You recognized him. Now, before I start today's message, I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. I have something I want to read to you. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 11 through whenever I decide to stop reading. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, he being God, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they shall say to me, 'Well, what is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God, El Shaddai Adonai Elohim, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." In the times we began together, in December we explored the question of why are you here? In January, we explored the question, how do we love God? And today we'll explore the question, who is the God we worship? The English title Deuteronomy in the book of the Law comes from the Greek Septuagint mistranslation of copy of the law or second law. The Hebrew title of the book is These Are the Words, which come from the first two Hebrew words in the book. Deuteronomy is not a second law, but is rather Moses' explanation concerning the law. Kind of like cliff notes, or a reminder, or a little notepad you carry around. A restatement with emphasis added. There are books out in law libraries called The Restatement of the Law. Short, simple explanations of precedent. You see, the Leviticus is a book for the Levites and gave instructions to the priests. Deuteronomy is a book for the people that explains the law. This is the approach that I want to take to this message today. Because as I have experienced Southern Baptist life, and I've been a member of Southern Baptist churches in Severna Park, Maryland, in Centerville, Virginia, when I was stationed down there. My letter is currently at Faith Baptist Church in Glen Burnie, but right now I'm worshiping in a church plant called the Life Connection Church in Sarah. So we'll start again with the biblical basis. In Exodus 3, Moses dialogues with God and inquires what he should tell Israel when they ask, what is his name? At this point in their life, Israel has lost a lot of focus on the God that chose them. And their inquiry suggests looking into the character, quality, or essence of this God and how it was relevant to their circumstances. So God answers, I am who I am, and in the Hebrew phonetically it is Hayah Asher Hayah. I am who I am. Pointing to his eternalist self-existence, and it denotes, I am the one who is and shall be. This is the God we worship. God added emphasis by saying, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Is he this to you? And you? And you? But perhaps more importantly, is there meaning behind that name to you? When was the last time any of you had the opportunity to sit down and take a look at the Baptist Faith and Message? As they say in the cartoons, squeak up, Brother Mouse. So I'll tell you a little bit about Baptist Faith and Message. About 3 years ago, I chaired a committee to help a church rewrite its constitution and bylaws. And in the original statement of faith in the Constitution, there were phrases similar to what was in the Baptist Faith and Message back in 1963. So 52 years later, it's time to take a look and revise and rewrite the article that governs the function of the local church corporation. So I said, well, why isn't our statement of faith in our Constitution the Baptist Faith and Message? And as a committee chair, I had it reprinted and rewritten in full. So anyone who came to look at what we would call the blue book in the church could see what we believed. I remember once I was in a Bible study where we studied a book that's called Know What You Believe. And so today, as a restatement or a reminder or that necessary refresher, I will read to you what the Baptist Faith and Message says about the God we worship. There is one and only one living and true God. He is intelligent, spiritual, and personal being, the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. God is infinite in holiness and other perfections. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and his perfect knowledge extends to all things past, present, and future, including the future decisions of his free creatures. To him we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. The eternal triune God reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. God, as Father, reigns with providential care over his universe, his creatures, and the flow of the stream of human history according to the purposes of his grace. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-wise. God is Father in truth to those who become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He is fatherly in his attitude toward all men. As I read over this, and of course I could read to you about God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, but perhaps what I have to say to you today may inspire you to sit down and take a look at the Baptist Faith and Message to know at least what the Southern Baptist Convention believes, or to know what you believe. Now, you may say to me, well, okay, John, yeah, we've heard this before, but sometimes somebody who comes to bring you a message must give you a reminder in no uncertain terms about who you are and what you believe. And I do so without shame. In Exodus 15:26, in the context of bitter waters made sweet and the covenant not to bring diseases on Israel as God brought them on Egypt, God says, I am the God who heals you. Jehovah Rapha, the tetragrammaton that the Jews use to describe Yahweh, are literally four letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Yod He Vah He. Yod He Vah He. From which we get Jehovah. Yod He Vah He. So he is the God who heals you. Do you love and worship this God for that purpose? In Genesis 22:14, and in the context of Abraham's response to God's command to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham names the place of the altar, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Do you love and worship the God that provides for you? In Exodus 17:15, and in the context of Joshua's defeat of the Amalekites, Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. Look in Numbers 2, and you will see that each family of Israel had a banner of identification. Throughout history, Roman legions were identified by the legion by their banner. The children of Israel had banners. Throughout feudal Europe and England, every baron had a banner and bannermen that followed their leader. So do you love the God who is your banner? How do you display that banner? Do you display that banner in the words you say to other people? Do you display that banner in the lifestyle you live? Do you display that banner perhaps in what you wear or what you decorate your house with? Does God know that you are one of his bannermen or bannerwomen Are you an earl or baron in the kingdom of God? Do you display your loyalty to Him on a day-to-day basis? Or are we content to remain anonymous? Now, I love the music we did this morning. I give thanks to John, the praise team, the brother that sang our song. In the ashen tissues of my meager brain in worship, I can see God's banners flying in those declarations of praise and worship. In Psalm 23, in Ezekiel 48:35, the prophet says, in the context of the division of the land and the place for a city with a gate for each tribe, he names the city, "The Lord is there." Now, I will concede that with the church gathered here under the word of God, God is here. Do you feel Him? Do you feel His presence? Is He speaking to you? Is He embracing you? Is He healing hurts? Is He calling you to some other purpose? Is He calling you to seek or give forgiveness? In Psalm 23, it starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And if you look carefully at that psalm, some theologians believe David created it when he was carrying bread and cheese to his brothers while they were waiting on the side of the valley facing the Philistines and being mocked daily by Goliath. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me to still waters. Yea, though I walk in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Of course, the God that you love feeds the sheep, leads the sheep, and protects the sheep. Read Psalm 23. You will see it in there. Do you submit to a God who leads you? Do you submit to a God who will feed you? Are you subject to His protection? When He says stop or caution, do you listen? When He says go, do you go? When He says come into the sheepfold, why do you separate yourselves from each other? Now, for many years as a deacon, I had a place that I sat in my church. As a matter of fact, it was right about over here where this brother and his companion were sitting. Because I sat there because I knew at decision time I might have to get up and go counsel somebody. That seat didn't have my name on it. It had my butt prints on it. All right? But I chose to sit there for a purpose. But you know, were I a shepherd, I'd walk around and look around and I'd say, "Hey, why don't you guys come over here in this field? Lots of grass here." And I'd go over there and say, "Hey, look, come on over here. And there's still water. Because sheep won't drink from running water. Gather you into the sheepfold where you could be protected." Now, yeah, I'm equally familiar with the fact that if you get too many ornery rams in the same sheepfold, there's going to be some fussing and fighting and wild bull riding. But the shepherd straightens that stuff out. Because he protects the flock. Do you love the God who leads you, feeds you, and protects you? In Jeremiah 23:5-6, in the context of describing the coming Messiah as the branch of righteousness, the prophet says he will be called the Lord our righteousness. Yehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. No one is righteous but God. We are made righteous through God and the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you ever shared that fact with anybody? That you have been righteous through God because Jesus died for you? Shared it with a cashier in Walmart? Shared it with your neighbor? Shared it with a salesman or somebody who comes to your door, like at my house? Somebody always wants to put a roof on my house. I listen. I said, no, thank you, my roof's fine. But God loves you, and so do I. Are you a banner? Can you declare his provision for you in your life? What, if anything, is holding you back? In John 6:34, Jesus says in his debate with the scribes and the elders, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And you are his voice. You are his herald. You are his spokesman in your home, in your neighborhood, in this county. I get excited when I hear music like we heard this morning. I mean, I've explained this to you before in the last couple of times. I love all kinds of music. I could sing from the hymnal all day long. In the Baptist hymnal I keep at home, every hymn in the hymnal is preceded by an introductory scripture. Take a look at it sometime. I love contemporary worship music. When Don and Vic and I go into prison and we start playing music and singing, I get excited. You know, we become a banner. And all of a sudden, inmates who have been in prison for 5, 10, 20, 30 years look around and say, and they begin to worship. And they get excited. Because, you know, somebody like Sergeant Vic or Captain John went out to the flagpole and grabbed the halyard and ran up the flag and saluted it. God is our banner. In Judges 6:24, Gideon memorialized a visit from the angel of the Lord and built an altar and named it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. Is the Lord your peace? Is there peace between you? Is there peace between you and the person sitting next to you? When was the last time the peace that passes all understanding descended on you and Jesus gave you a hug? The Lord is peace. Do you love the God who is the Lord of peace? In Psalm 46, David calls God the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, in the context of exalting God as the refuge of his people and the conquerors of nations. Where does he stand with you? You know, I am not going to talk about politics. I'm not going to talk about my personal politics. I will say that I wore the uniform of our country for 28 years. And I have a total service in the military service of the armed forces of 45 years. I have 13 years of private sector experience in my life. I was born in 1948. I think Harry Truman was still in office. And after that, we went through Eisenhower. When I was in the third grade, I remember people fussing and fighting about whether or not Adlai Stevenson should be elected president versus President Eisenhower. I was in public school 87, the Windsor Mill School over in Forest Park near Walbrook Junction. And as I have watched, not the politics of the last 2 years, not the politics of the last 10 years, but I've watched the politics of the last 18 years. The only thing that occurs to me as being extremely relevant is where it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will confess their sins and humble themselves and pray, then I will hear their prayers in heaven and heal their land. You know, John has been claiming that promise. Oh, do I have sins to confess? You bet. Does a day go by when I don't sin? Nope. Does a day go by when you guys don't sin? Nope. We sin in thought, word, and deed. And then we confess it and turn from it. God brings healing. He is the God. I am the God that heals you. Jehovah Rapha. Now we'll shift gears a little bit. Lord Jesus said several I am statements. And in the Greek, it's not Yahawa or Yah, it's ego emi. I am. Ego emi. I am. I am the bread of life. John 6:35. Yes, the shepherd feeds the sheep. Unless we take him in and he can sustain us, and we abide in him and he abides in us, then we are going to starve. Spiritually, emotionally, and eventually physically. The Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. You ever walked in total darkness? From time to time, as they were growing up, I've taken my children and my grandchildren to the Smoke Hole Caverns near the Potomac, southern branch of Potomac River in West Virginia. And you walk so far back into the cavern, and the tour guide says, okay, now, I'm going to turn out the lights, and we're going to experience total darkness for about 2 minutes. Click. And I mean, it is dark. You cannot see your hand in front of your face because you're deprived of light. There are golden trout and rainbow trout that they keep in the pools in the cavern. They're blind. Their eyes are all covered in blue like everlasting cataracts. But yet they swim around and somebody still has to feed them. And they turn a light on so that they have some vision. The light of the world, the Greek word for light is archon. You know, when some of us were little, we used to sing a song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why don't we say today in the 21st century, this little LED, I'm going to let it shine. Because when you go out into the world, into your home, into your community, into this county where you work, you ought to be lit up. Lit up with the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love that God? Do you love Him enough to light up? In the Coast Guard, we'd say, come on, hitch up your big boy drawers and get to it. The Lord Jesus said, I am, ego emi, the door of the sheep. The only way in. People need to know, brothers and sisters, those of you who have received Christ as Lord and Savior, that Jesus is the only way in. If you go out and look around in this community, people are dying everywhere because they don't know where the door is. There's no light, and they haven't been fed. Jesus said, I am ego emi, the good shepherd. John 10:11. Psalm 23 and John 10:11 linked together, arms locked, in step. He not only came to lead us, to feed us, and to protect us, He died for us. No other God in the religions of the world has ever died for their followers. Because in Daniel says, He's the God of gods. Other gods are just images of wood or metal or stone. Our God is spirit. This is the God we love. The God that is here now, wanting to heal you, wanting to light you up, wanting to feed you, to protect you, to guide you. Jesus said, I am ego emi, the resurrection and life. Can you say, without qualification, that the neighbor on your left of your right of your home and your neighborhood knows that? Find a way to say that? No, I don't believe in taking your Bible and going out and thumping people around the head and shoulders with the scripture. That's not what God calls us to do, but He calls us to share. Ego emi, the resurrection and the life. One door, the only way in. And here is a sheepfold where the sheep can be gathered, led, and fed, and protected. Jesus said, Ego emi, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6, John 6:4, arms locked, in step, only Scripture interprets Scripture. Jesus says, Ego emi, I am the true vine. In John 15:1-5. Any of you guys ever grow snap peas? Grapes? Sweet potatoes? I love the garden. I really do. This past year, I put in some Beauregard sweet potatoes that I bought at Lowe's. I've done that for a couple years now. And I love them. And they grow great in my garden. So one day I went out to look at the garden. And I, by the way, use raised beds. And I put my sweet potato vines so that they grow up inside of tomato cages. And they grow out this way. And then they go down in the ground and they'll root themselves again. I went out and looked at my sweet potatoes one morning and I said, what happened to all the leaves? So I got closer to my garden bed, and there I saw at the base of one of the tomato cages that the vines were in were the hoof prints of a white-tailed deer. So some crazy little doe or really hungry buck had come into my garden and got up into the bed, got up in it, it's about that high off the ground, and nipped all the leaves off the top of the vine. Didn't touch the vine. The potatoes still worked. We're like potatoes in the kingdom of God. We need a vine. Yeah. In our life, we may get a few of our leaves nipped off every now and then. But the vine sustains us. Without the vine, we're nothing. Now, if somebody had nipped that vine at the bottom, like some I do when I go deer hunting. First of all, I remember once I built a deer stand in a tree down in Calvert County. And I was up in a stand putting it up and trying to nail it in. I said, what's this thick vine with all this fuzzy purple hair on it? Well, about 3 days later, I was at my doctor with poison ivy all over my face and my hands. After I healed, I went back to that deer stand and I took a machete. And I cut the vine at the bottom and pried off 6 inches. And then I went up about 3 feet and I cut the vine in two places and pried off another 6 inches. And I said, now, poison, let's see what you can do if you're separated from the vine. Eventually that vine will die. Its outgrowths will die apart from the vine. Sometimes I go down with a cultivator. And if I see those vines on a tree in the woods where I'm hunting, I'll pull those suckers down and put them somewhere else where I'm unlikely to step on them or fall when I'm carrying a backpack and a bow. I am the true vine. The bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, resurrection to life, the way, the truth, and life, the true vine, all of which are tremendous metaphors of Jesus, God, the Son's saving relationship toward the world. All of these aforementioned names of God and metaphors describe the God we are to love and worship. There's one other thing I'd like to read to you before I close. You know, one of the things that coming to be with you and to be your guest requires me to do is to study. In the Kairos ministry, we talk about spirituality, discovery through study, and so it doesn't hurt a short, fat, older man to get down in the books. All right, I got to try again. But today, this is the only way I can finish. Yeah, we've talked about the Old Testament, new names of God. And we've talked about who Jesus said he was. He is also Elohim, God, God of power and might. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Olam, the Everlasting God. El Roi, the One who sees. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Adonai, and Lord. I do not know the spiritual condition of any person in this room today. I don't mind. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a guy who needs someone to remind me to spend some time daily with my God. I need His Word to remind me to perhaps pray first for other people, but to confess my own sin first. So I don't know where you are. When John plays our last song today, I'll just stand down front. And if anybody wants prayer for any reason, if anybody needs to make a decision to take the next step in your walk with the Lord Jesus, if you need to request baptism or membership in this church, please come tell me. Please give me the privilege of praying for you and with you. And with that, I'll close in prayer. Let's quiet our hearts for prayer. Sovereign Lord, you have allowed me to learn so much about who you are and what you do, and more particularly how you died for me. Help us, dear God, to go forth from this place and to be the light, to be a banner, to declare your peace, to be willing to pray for your healing of those around us, those we love, those we don't love. Help us, Lord, to seek peace in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our community, and in our country. Help us, dear God, to light up, show people the door, tell them the way. Oh, Lord God, only you are God. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are our Savior. And like the song says, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Son of God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lord, you are everything. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of Man, the seed of Abraham, the second person of the Trinity. God, soften our hearts and help us to love you more. For now we have been reminded who you are, who you have been, who you will be, and are for eternity, past, present, and future. And we pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, Amen.